Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, 18 through 38. Matthew 9, 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, there came a synagogue official and bowed down before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I shall get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well." And at once the woman was made well. And when Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he began to say, "Depart, for the girl has not died but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And this news went out into all that land. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men following him, crying out and saying, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "Be it done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See here, let no one know about this." But they went out and spread the news about him in all that land. And as they were going out, behold, a dumb man, demon-possessed, was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "Nothing like this was ever seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "He casts out the demons by the ruler of the demons." And Jesus is going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Amen. God, we thank you for this morning. We just ask you to come and speak to us. We just give you this time, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've been going through Matthew. Well, at least I've been going through Matthew. And we've kind of been seeing the authority that Jesus has, right? He has authority over sickness, authority over demons, authority over nature, and all these things, authority over the law. And today we see that he has authority even over death, right? We see probably the biggest, display of his authority. We see that he has authority over death. What's interesting here in this passage is verse 18, the synagogue official. If we read the account in Mark, we know that it's Jairus, right? Jairus is the synagogue official that comes to Jesus, and he's saying to Jesus, "You know, my daughter has just died, so come and lay your hand on her and she will live." So here we see Jairus talking about his daughter and bringing his daughter before the Lord, saying, "You know, this is my precious daughter that I love. But she has died. Would you come and lay your hand on her?" And we see Jesus says, okay, so he starts walking. And then we see this woman who has been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years comes up behind him, touches the fringe of his cloak. And we've talked about this many times. And I heard this from P. Sam. But it's interesting how Matthew and the writer of the Gospels in other passages puts these two stories together, because we see here Jairus going before Jesus and saying, "This is my daughter, you know, that I love, that is so precious to me. Would you come and heal her, or would you come and revive her?" And then we see this woman who has been suffering for 12 years, and we know from the Old Testament that if she had a bleeding problem, that she was pretty much an outcast, right? She wasn't able to come into the society and be a normal person. She probably hasn't had anyone show love to her or compassion for her. And she's taking this great step of faith to come before Jesus to touch his cloak. And Jesus calls her, you know, daughter, you know, take courage. So you see kind of these two pictures, you know, one of a man who loves his daughter, you know, and brings this daughter before Jesus. And Jesus is showing us, or the gospel writer is showing us, that this woman who has been suffering, this woman who has been in pain and in loneliness, is also a daughter of God, you know. And Jesus says, daughter, take courage. And this is God's heart. And this is something that we need to hear from the Lord, you know. Take courage. He's always encouraging us. You know, when he talks to the man that was paralyzed in the beginning of chapter 9, he says, you know, take courage, my son. And here in this passage, he says to this woman, daughter, take courage. And I hope that we can hear this from the Lord, you know, when we're discouraged, when we're feeling like nothing's working out and you're worried and whatnot, you know, that we would hear from the Lord saying to us, you know, daughter or son, take courage and be encouraged. And, you know, draw that strength that you need, you know, to go on. So that's the first thing, you know. And Jesus comes into the house, right? He comes into the house and sees that there are flute players in the crowd in noisy disorder. Everybody basically is has given up, basically saying everybody is thinking that this girl is dead. But he goes and says, depart, for the girl has not died, but she's asleep. And they begin laughing at him. And so he kicks them all out, right? He kicks out all these people. And I just think this is the picture we see here of these people that are playing the flute and just basically mourning the death of this girl and laughing at Jesus when he says, you know, this girl is not dead, she's asleep, is this picture of people that have no faith. You know, I'm sure you've run across people like this, you know, in our church, and we can be like this too. You know, we can totally just have a lack of faith, you know, when somebody makes a proclamation or declaration of faith, we might say on the outside, like, okay, that's cool, you know, go for it, you know, pray hard. But in our hearts, we're like, that's never going to happen. In our heart, we're like, there's no way, you know, that that's from the Lord, or there's no way, you know, you're going to be able to do that kind of thing. And totally, it's a picture of having no faith, you know. And what happens to the people that have no faith, that laugh at Jesus? They basically get kicked out of the house, and they miss out on the glory of God being displayed through this miracle. And I think that's what happens if we have no faith, if we choose to not have faith. Because, you know, faith is a choice, right? Faith is not something that you know for certain. You never know for certain. It wouldn't be faith. So faith requires that we don't know for certain, but we choose to take that step of faith. We choose to believe. But if we make that choice to say we're not going to believe, we're not going to have faith in God, then we miss out on seeing the glory of God. You know, if this same story is in Mark, and in the Mark passage, we see Jesus taking into the room the parents of the daughter and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, right? These five people are the only ones that make it into the room to see this great miracle that Jesus is performing. And yeah, I really believe God wants us to believe. You know, I just read this in Luke. In Luke chapter 1, we read about Zechariah. He is the father of John the Baptist, right? And the angel appears to Zechariah before John the Baptist is born. And the angel says to Zechariah basically that you're old, but you're going to bear a child, and his name's going to be John, and he's going to be this great prophet to prepare the way before the Lord. And this is what he says in Luke 1, verse 18. Zechariah says to the angel, how shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And basically, the angel Gabriel rebukes him and says, you know, I am the angel Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." So we see Zechariah asking this question, well, how can I know this for certain that this is going to happen? And the angel rebukes him for that and saying, you know, you did not believe. Because, you know, to know for certain requires no belief or no faith. And the angel rebukes him and says, because you didn't believe my words, you're going to be silent. And seems a bit harsh at first, but it's for Zechariah's sake. Because after John the Baptist is born, he is able to speak again. And, you know, probably from that day forward, Zechariah would have been, it would have been easier for Zechariah to believe things. You know, he would have learned his lesson, basically, in saying, I'm not going to have unbelief again. You know, he would have said, you know, I better believe. When God says something, I'm going to believe that he's going to do it. And I believe God, you know, because some people in our church, even, you know, we say, oh, I'm just not prone to have faith. You know, some people just say things like, I'm just, you know, I'm, this is the way I'm created. You know, this is who I am. This is my personality. I just don't believe. I just have a lot of doubt. And I just, you know, I'm very skeptical. You know, some people say things like that. But, you know, I think if you are like that, if you are skeptical and you just are prone to not believe, God may just discipline you the way he disciplined Zechariah and taught him to have faith, you know, because God wants us to be walking in faith. And we see a real contrast to Zechariah happens right after this story when the angel, same angel Gabriel, appears to Mary. And Mary just says, in verse 38, Mary says, "Behold, a bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Mary just accepts it, receives it. She asks the question, well, how is this going to happen? But it's not the same question as Zechariah. Zechariah is asking, how can I know this for certain? How can I know for sure that this is going to happen? Whereas Mary is asking, well, okay, I receive that this is going to happen, but I don't understand how this is going to happen because I'm a virgin, but I received your word as truth. And in verse 45, Elizabeth blesses her and says, "Blessed is the woman who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." You know, she says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And the famous passage that was our theme verse last year, you know, no spoken word of God will be without ability to perform. Basically saying, if God has spoken this to you, it is a done deal that God's going to do it. And doubt will arise and circumstance will come against it. But blessed is the person that can believe that there will be a fulfillment of what God has spoken. So this morning, I just hope that God would really reveal or give us a faith, you know, to believe. If God has spoken something to you, a promise about your life, a promise about, I don't know, your ministry or your family or anything, you know, what God has spoken, no spoken word of God is without ability, right? If God has spoken it, he's going to fulfill it. So let us walk in faith, you know, not be like the people that laughed at Jesus, but let's be like the parents, you know, that went to Jesus and said, God, come and please heal my daughter, because I know that you can and I know that you are willing to. So after he raises the dead girl, you see the blind man coming to him and the mute person that comes and that gets healed. But I just want to turn to the very last verse here. In verse 35, Jesus is going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." In verse 36, where it says, Jesus saw the multitude, felt compassion because they were distressed and downcast. My Bible has a footnote, and instead of saying distressed and downcast, the words that the footnote uses is because they were harassed and thrown down. Right? Harassed and thrown down like sheep without a shepherd. And I just like those words better. You know, harassed and thrown down, because that implies that there is somebody out there that's harassing you and that's going to throw you down. If you are a sheep without a shepherd, somebody is going to be out there to harass you and to throw you down. And we know from other passages in the Bible that there is the enemy who is like a roaring lion just waiting to devour us, right? And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's out there harassing people and throwing people down. And as long as there is no shepherd to lead them, people are going to be harassed and thrown down by the devil. You know, and we've heard this many times at church. We are full-time ministers. We're all full-time ministers disguised as a banker, as a singer, entertainment person, as a, well, as a household wife for now, you know, but someone as a pastor, some as a church graphics guy. You know, we're all full-time ministers disguised as that to go out and to bring the love of Jesus, right, to the people around us. And you know the word shepherd, well, the word pastor has the meaning of shepherding, right? And we're all basically called to shepherd. And I heard someone say, you know, that when he goes to work, he sees himself as the pastor of that workplace. You know, he has a small company that he works in, and he knows that he's the only Christian there. So he's saying, you know what, when I go into my workplace, I'm going to assume the role of the pastor, and I'm going to pray for my coworkers, and I'm going to pray for my workplace. Because without the shepherd, the sheep are going to get harassed and thrown down. Right? But if we can take that, assume that position and say, you know what, I have the Holy Spirit living in me and the love of Jesus in me, and I'm going to assume this role as the pastor wherever I go to pray for protection and to pray for blessing and to shepherd these people. They might not even want shepherding, but we can pray for them, right? And we can do things behind the scenes to really bless our colleagues and our coworkers and the people around us. And so, yeah, just wherever you go, right, wherever you're working, if you can consider yourself as the shepherd, because you have the real shepherd guiding you, right? So then you can go and be like Jesus unto the people around you and just pray for them, you know? Because there is the devil who's going to harass them and throw them down. But if we can just go and, you know, love them and be there for them, I feel like, because that's what Jesus says, you know? Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord to send more workers. And we are his workers, you know, because right after that, you see in chapter 10, Jesus sends out the disciples, basically, to do the work, you know, to minister and to shepherd these people that are like sheep without a shepherd. So let's just close our eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us regarding these things, you know. It could just be God just encouraging you, saying, take courage, my son, my daughter. You know, don't be discouraged. I'm with you, and you know, we are God's sons and daughters. You know, some of us really just need to hear that. It could be faith, you know. God might be challenging us to have faith in the things that he has spoken to us about. God might be saying, just believe, you know, that there will be fulfillment of the things that has been spoken by the Lord. And lastly, God might be speaking to us about, you know, being a pastor, being a shepherd to the people around us. stir in me. Pray for our church together. Let's just pray for those of us that are having a hard time. Just it could be a family member that's sick, or it could be a job situation, or just being in a funk, you know, in terms of the relationship with God. Let's just pray and cover our brothers and sisters that you are aware of in our church that just really need prayer, that really need us to have faith with them and for them, and just pray for them. Let's just cover our church members, and let's cover our church as a whole, that God would really just minister to people in our community. Let's pray together.
Let's pray for our house church that's meeting tonight. Let's pray for Jimmy and Boyoung's house church. Let's pray that God would really bless them and that they would have a really fantastic time meeting together. And also, just this weekend is Jennifer and Jason's wedding. They used to come to our church. They were in Mac Daddy House Church, and they're getting married in Bali this weekend. So a bunch of us are going to go. But let's pray that they'll have a fantastic time, you know, that God would cover them and really bless them. And it'll be a beautiful time. So let's pray for the house church tonight and for the wedding this weekend. Let's pray for this weekend and everything that's coming up this weekend. Let's pray for tomorrow is IP prayer meeting in the afternoon, and then we have youth group in the evening, and then there's also the river tomorrow night. So let's pray for that. And also on Sunday, let's pray for the Sunday school and also the two Sunday services. Jimmy Stewart will be coming to minister to us. Let's pray for him that he would be able to really download from the Lord, you know, what he wants to do on Sunday. And let's cover our Sunday service. So let's pray together for all the stuff going on during the weekend. Lastly, let's pray for the Inner Healing Ministry. They meet on Mondays, and they have their ministry time on Mondays. So let's pray for covering over the team. Pray for Becky and Larry, especially Becky as she heads up this ministry, right? And let's pray for the team. Also the pastoral staff. If you could keep myself and Pastor Sam Kim and Kenny, and Sophia and Samantha as well, and Ed, they're all working at the church. If you could cover us, that we fall deeper in love with Jesus every day. And then also for the building search, let's pray that God would lead us and help us find the most perfect place for us. Let's pray for those three things. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. And we just pray as we spend some time with you this morning, that your presence would really be here and manifest in this place. And we want to draw closer to you and nearer to you. Help us to have faith, you know, in the things that you have told us, God. And help us today to be a blessing to those around us as we go into our workplace and just go about our business. You know, I pray that we would be always thinking about you and drawing closer to you and being a light to the people around us. So Lord, watch over us, and I just want to bless everyone that's here, God, with your peace and your presence and your covering, your protection, Lord, and your love and your nearness, God, today. So we thank you, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.